All right. Well, good evening. It's great to see y'all on the internet with us this evening. We're going to start by singing a few praise and worship songs.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Throughout eternity.
Amen. Yes. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago. Taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me on my way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Well, sorry we had to cancel the in-person tonight. We were planning to start back this Wednesday evening with in-person service, but got a call about, I want to say it was about 2 o'clock, that we were without water here at the church property, the school, the whole street. Sonic didn't have any, people across the street, all that. Everything was off, and we tried to talk to the water company and find out when an estimated time of back in service would be. And they just didn't want to give that information out. I think they were under some pressure or something. So to err on the side of caution, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and you don't have water, you can't wash your hands, you can't flush the toilets, kind of a rough thing. So went ahead and called it for tonight, Awana's and in-person. Guess what? Got here this evening. Guess what's on? Well, the water's on. But I'm telling you, Murphy's Law is if you would have held church, the water would have been off. So that's just how Murphy's Law works out sometimes. So I don't know what to tell you. We try to err on the side of caution, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But anyway, those of you that may be wondering what we're going to do now, since the governor has lifted all mass restrictions and opened all businesses back up 100% on, I want to say, March the 8th, what are we going to do here? Well, we're going to continue to follow CDC guidelines, and we're going to continue to follow what we've kind of already got in place. And so we will have Awana's on Wednesday night. We will have in-person Bible study and prayer time on Wednesday night, as well as live stream. And we will have Sunday morning worship and Sunday morning Bible study. But we're going to be very strict on mask wearing and social distancing. Try to think this through and figure out what the logic is. I have no idea. I'm not a politician. I don't know what's going on. But if the governor shut the state down when the case rate was 5,000 cases a day, if he shut the state down then, why would he then open the state back up with a case count of 7,000 plus cases a day? I don't know. It's kind of crazy. not in politics, don't want to be in politics, but we have got to look at the big, broad picture and see that every one of these COVID variants, Houston is the only city in the nation that has all of them right here. So we've got all the variants. We've got the making in Harris County and these surrounding counties around Harris County. We got the makings of another fourth. It'd be a fourth wave, folks. A fourth wave if we're not careful and we don't do due diligence. A fourth wave. You got spring break starting. And man, I'm telling you, if people throw caution to the wind, it could get. You know, don't want to be Chicken Little and say the sky is going to fall, but I mean, you kind of see the writing on the wall, I hope. So with that said, what are we going to do? We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to come in with masks. Got to have a mask to enter the building. Need to keep a mask on. Only person takes it off is Pastor Lee when he preaches. Gets through preaching, puts it back on, and that's just how we're going to truck on down the road with it. So hopefully everybody can work with that and understand that and appreciate we're trying to protect your safety. A man that supplied here, I don't know, it's probably been over a year ago, Jack Redfern. He is the pastor at, help me, Brother Jeremiah, it's up the road, Plantersville. He's the pastor at Plantersville Baptist Church. I think he's been there about a year, maybe a year and a half. Great man, probably early to mid-60s. He's a hospice chaplain. That's his full-time job, and then he part-time pastors Plantersville. But he came down with the COVID on December the 6th, and my soul, it ravaged his body. He caught it from an 85-year-old patient who was having no symptoms. You hear the kids not having any symptoms. An 85-year-old patient of his under hospice care having no symptoms to the COVID-19 virus. He comes down with it, gives it to his wife. His wife handles it fine. He gives it to his adult son. His adult son handles it okay. He ends up in the hospital for 2 weeks, and then he is so weakened and ravaged, his body has been ravaged by COVID-19, he spends another 6 weeks in a rehab hospital. He finally calls me. I didn't see anything on Facebook. I just assumed he was back at it and going good. And you could tell he was still laboring to breathe. This is all the way from December the 6th to just a few days ago, the end of February, 1st of March. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So another pastor friend was telling me of another pastor up in the Dallas, east of Dallas area. Large church. God had been there 20-something years. Relatively good health. Very active lifestyle. The senior pastor. He'd been in his church for 20-something years. He came down with COVID a couple weeks ago, and he died of it. And he's no more. And his congregation is just heartbroken over the whole deal. So as you hear it coming from one side that, you know, laissez-faire, we're going to throw open the gates and everybody can take off their mask, on the other side of it, people are still coming down with it. They're still getting extremely sick, and people are still dying. So the thing is, we don't want to be contributors to somebody's unnecessary death. So bear with us and work with us, and we always be on live stream. If you can't agree, or you know, it just goes against your grain, just watch us online then, and we'll just get through this. And it, you know, another four or five months, maybe enough shots, get in the arms, we'll be back to normal, you know. A new normal. Let's don't say normal. A new normal, all right? So let's think about our prayer needs and our prayer list tonight. We shared last week about Dr. Carl Carr. That is the son, the doctor's son, pediatrician son, my kid's pediatrician. That is the doctor's son of Claudia, or late Claudia and Austin Carr. Beloved members years ago here in this church. Carrie Carr, Dr. Carr's wife, she did pass away yesterday morning of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So her viewing will be tomorrow down at Magnolia Funeral Home from 5 to 7 p.m. 5 to 7 p.m., Magnolia Funeral Home. And then the service will be Friday at 11 a.m. Friday at 11 a.m. Tomorrow's Thursday. Friday at 11 a.m. will be the homegoing service for Carrie Carr. If you can't make the visitation, and certainly can't make the funeral for whatever reason, be in prayer for Dr. Carr and his sweet family. They've truly been great ministers to a lot of different people over the years as a medical Christian medical doctor and wife. So they've really sweet people, really great contribution to the community. So, and I think Dr. Carr has actually filled the pulpit here. So you know who he is. You remember his parents. So be in prayer for him and the loss and his two daughters in the loss of his wife. I want to continue to pray for Marilyn Davlin. She's recovering from hip surgery, and I want to pray that she just gets her strength and her balance and all that headed in the right direction. I want to pray for Sis's brother. You know him, Daryl Connor. Daryl is suffering with a brain tumor. They're trying to figure out what the plan of action is, surgically go get it or treat it or what to do. And so I want to be in prayer for Daryl Connor, Patsy and Bobby's boy. So Daryl, pray for him. Courtney McConathy, which is Walt and Don Bates' daughter, will be in prayer for her. She recovers from major surgery last week. I think we prayed for her last week. Yeah, we did pray for her last week. I want to continue to pray for her again this evening. And then Jeff McCormick, this is Paul and Pat's son. He starts a new job March the 15th. So that's a great praise. Amen. Great praise. Finally getting back at it. God's opened the door, and he walked through that thing, and he is going to be gainfully employed March 15, and pray that all works out for him and them. All right, any other prayer needs on the pop-up back there on your chat? Anything? Not right now. Okay, all right. Well, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll lift these up, and then we'll commence to looking at the Bible for some time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for all that you do for us. And, Lord, how you bless us and how you touch us and how you've saved us. And, Lord, we're thankful that you know these bodies and that you can heal these bodies, Lord. And Lord, just give these bodies what they need. And Lord, as we come to you tonight, we lift these up. We pray for Dr. Carr tonight, and we pray for his two daughters and his extended family, Kathy, his sister, and his other brother. And Lord, we just lift them all up. We pray for your comforting grace and mercy upon them. Lord, help them as they walk through this together as a family. And I pray that they would be the hands and the feet of Christ to one another. And Lord, help them as they experience all the different emotions of grief. Lord, we need to know and appreciate that you gave us these emotions. You created these emotions in us. And Lord, so it's very natural to feel these things that we feel when we go through the loss of someone, the anger and the sadness and then the joy, and then there's happiness sprinkled in, and it just goes back and forth, and it's a roller coaster at times. And then, Lord, there's just a numbness to it all. And, Lord, we just pray you give them the grace and the peace to navigate all of that and help them encourage one another along the way as they will and as you've equipped them to do. Thank you for that family. Thank you for Carrie Carr's life. And Lord, we pray that the love that you poured through her would continue to be a blessing through those two daughters and through her, through Dr. Carr, who's left here. Lord, we continue to pray for Marilyn Davlin as she recovers from hip surgery. Lord, we just pray that that hip replacement takes and she gets strength back and balance, and Lord, has good pain relief from the implant and all that stuff. Lord, watch over her. Help her not to fall on it or injure it in any way as it's grafting in and growing into the bone. And Lord, we just pray you be with Miss Marilyn. Help her get back to where she once was. She wants to get back up here to these kids, I know. And Lord, we just pray you bless her and help her. Be with John as he cares for her. And Lord, we pray a hedge of protection around that family that nothing else would come against them. We lift up Daryl Connor to you tonight. And Lord, we pray for his oncologist and we pray for his physician team as they try to navigate and figure out this the brain tumor thing going on with him. Lord, I pray that they're able to come up with a treatment plan, a surgery plan. Lord, somehow, some way to get that thing and bring healing to his body. Lord, perhaps via miracle, you might remove that tumor, shrink that tumor, take that tumor from him, Lord. But we're lifting Daryl up to you, and we're praying, God, that you might do a work in his life in regards to this brain tumor. Courtney McConathy, Donna Walt's daughter, Lord, we continue to pray for her. We pray for Ricky as he's caring for her. And, Lord, we just pray that you give her strength back. You give her health back, Lord. Just help her bounce back from this and get back on down the road as being a wife and a mother. Lord, thank you for that family. And watch over them and be with them as they as she heals up from this surgery. And then, Lord, what a great praise to hear that Brother Jeff has secured this employment. And, Lord, we pray that it's the job. It's the one you've led him to. And, God, we just pray that this be a great career, a great path for him. And, Lord, that other doors of advancement within this company would open up as he feels led to pursue those. And, Lord, we just pray that this be a great opportunity for him to bring home that bread and that bacon and Lord, just provide for that family. Thank you, Lord. He's been diligent. He's stayed after it. He's put in application, resume and application. And Lord, you've rewarded his hard work in rooting out and trying to find another job. You've led him to it. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, be with those that are still struggling in the community. Be with those that are struggling with the COVID-19, the pandemic. And Lord, we just pray that in the midst of all this back and forth of mask, no mask, we pray that, Lord, people would respect each other's opinions. And Lord, we would just be able to work with each other. And this issue of mask or no mask would not be a thing that divides us. But Lord, we'd be able to unite around trying to keep one another safe and watching over each other as best we can. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you save us. Thank you for your word tonight. We praise you and thank you for it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, we are in Exodus chapter, we'll begin reading here in verse 33 at verse 18. And we'll take it through chapter 34, verse 7. And we're continuing on as we call these last couple of Bible studies in this one tonight. Let's see God's glory. Let's see God's glory. You have a copy of God's Word, Exodus 33, verse 18. We'll begin reading it here and then go through chapter 34, verse 7. The Word of God reads, then Moses said, I pray you show me, what does it say? Your glory. And notice that exclamation. He doesn't low talk it there. I pray you show me your glory. Can you just imagine him praying that prayer to Almighty God? That you show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness. Notice how God responds. I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. For no man can see me and what? Live. And notice that God says, exclamation, live, right? So Moses prayed with exclamation and God responds with exclamation. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. It says, now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, "The Lord," notice what it says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now, we have covered the first two requests of intercession by Moses here in this section of Moses making request. That's in Exodus 33, right? We continue this evening with a third request that Moses makes. So basically, what are we talking about? The third request. That's that verse 18 that we read several times. Then Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory," right? Show me your glory. Now, before Moses reached this third request, he had already what? He had really already achieved what he wanted. As the leader of the people, he was concerned. What was he concerned about? That God go with him. God, don't send an angel. We want your very presence with us. Now, God declared that he would. But Moses was not quite satisfied. He had gotten some things, but he wasn't quite satisfied 110%. Moses, think about this. He's a remarkable man. And one of his remarkable characteristics is now apparent. Although God had promised to bless him and teach him his ways, remember, we covered that last week, teach him his ways, these ways were a great start for him, but were not quite enough. Knowing something about the greatness of the God he serves, Moses comes with the greatest request of all. "I pray you, show me your glory." Now, we read it, God's answer. We read God's answer in the last part of verse 33. God's answer makes clear that Moses' request was nothing less than a request to see God face to face in all His splendor. We're talking throne room of God stuff. We're talking the very abode of heaven where the very manifest glory and presence of God is now at rest. Okay, he wants to see God face to face in all His splendor. Unobscured by the cloud. See, there's always been this cloud between them. There's always been this cloud protecting Moses and shielding Moses. He wants to see, he's heard him, but he wants to see him unobscured by the cloud that was over the mountain. Now, Moses, he must have communed with God in what we would call, think about the cloud. What does a cloud do? Blocks light. He must have been communing with God in what we would call the dark or the dusk or the tempered light, or perhaps it was by that burning bush again that he was communing with God. That burning bush that would not be consumed, right? But Moses no longer wanted that obscurity. He no longer wanted that. He wanted to see his God face to face. God told Moses that he would not be able to show his face to Moses. Can't do that, bub. Because no human being can see the face of God and live. It just can't happen. Now, one, I really can't say day because I don't know how the time works, but there's a point in the future, friend, where me and you will literally be in that throne room, right? With a glorified body. And we'll get to take all that in. But we will have transitioned from this place. And I try to help people think about it like this. I don't know if your finite mind could literally comprehend what you're going to see if you're saved one day. What you're going to take in with your senses. I think that's why it's a death sentence. The finiteness of humanity here on this side of the veil, on this side of time, just can't absorb all of what God is. And so he wanted to see God face to face. God told Moses that he would not be able to do that because what? No human being can see the face of God and live. But notice that God did say that he would reveal his goodness and he would proclaim his name to Moses, and that he would do so by putting Moses in the cleft of a rock, covering the opening with his hand, and then causing his goodness to pass before his servant. So, the beauty that we have here is he doesn't get to see God face to face, but he does get to see God and live, right? He does get to see God and live. Do we ever get to see God? Do you ever get to see God? If you have a Bible, I think you do. I think you see God in the pages of the Bible. You don't see all. You don't see God face to face. But you see a manifestation of God in the Word of God as you go through it. That's why being in the Word is such a fruitful thing for Christians. To see God and yet live. Perhaps you remember in Exodus chapter 24, Exodus 24, 9 and 10, where the elders are said to have seen the God of Israel, right? If we read the description of what they actually did see, we kind of get a gist of what's going on here. Exodus 24, 9 through 10, I'll read the passage to you. It says, "Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And what did they do? And they saw the God of Israel." That's what it says here. "And under his feet," that's what's going on, "and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself." So what did they see? What they saw was something like a pavement made of sapphire under God's feet. Under God's feet. In other words, some of the cloud, the glory cloud, the cloud to shield, the glory, the cloud to keep you alive if you're in the presence of God, some of the cloud was removed. They looked up. What they saw when they looked up was the floor of heaven. They didn't actually get in the abode of heaven. They didn't actually see God face to face, right? They didn't. But you can see why, how they would say, "We saw God." Well, you see the floor of heaven. You see the feet of the throne room. You get pretty wound up. Notice what God says. Notice how God responds to Moses. It's consistent with the rest of the Bible. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, when Jacob wrestled with God, remember that back in Genesis? When Jacob wrestled with God, he did not wrestle with the undisclosed, glorious God of heaven. Rather, Jacob encountered a pre-incarnate form of Christ. He had a theophany, the Godhead veiled in human flesh. When Isaiah had his great vision of God, with God's glory filling the temple, he did not see God face to face, but saw the revelation of God's glory. Isaiah chapter 6. God's very consistent in his word. He doesn't mislead us there. Although God told Moses that he would not grant his request literally and fully because no one could see him and live, he did nevertheless grant Moses his request in substance. What do you mean by that? In substance, by giving Moses, and I'm telling you, man, I mean, you're talking about experiences in the Word of God. By giving Moses one of the greatest revelations of himself found anywhere in the Bible. I mean, this is huge. This is great. This is awesome what we see here. God began by announcing what he would do, verses 19 through 23. We read that. And then I want to pivot off of that, verses 19 through 23, what we read, how God tells him it's all going to happen. "I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by. I'm going to proclaim my name." I want to pivot off of that to chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. We're not going to cover all this passage. We kind of introduced it tonight. We'll come back to it more next week. But look at 34, verses 5 through 7. "The Lord descended in the cloud." This is after this incident with the cleft of the rock. But notice what it says. The Lord descended in the cloud. This is about the two new tablets, the two new copies of the Ten Commandments. Remember, the other two were shattered by Moses when he came down off the mountain, saw what the people were doing with the golden calf. All right, so where am I at? I'm in chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. We're not going to get to all that tonight, but what we want to key on is the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Well, that's a God worth serving. That's a God that's awesome. That's a God that's about grace. That's a God that's about mercy. That's a God that loves us. Amen? That's a great God. Amen? That's what that is. Now, as we pivot here, God's revelation, his revelation to Moses unfolds the meaning of his name. What's the meaning of his name? Well, Jehovah Yahweh. It's that capital L, three-quarter O-R-D. We've talked about this before. This revelation is so important that verse 6, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Do you know what we find over and over in the Bible? We find that very phrase quoted over and over again throughout the Old Testament. Examples include Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Oh, the Psalms, man, it's hit parade in the Psalms. Psalm chapter 86, verse 15. Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 145, verse 8. Joel there, 2:13. And then, don't leave out Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. This short but powerful phrase, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, a short but powerful phrase sums up the very essence of God's name. And since the name of God sums up the character of God, the phrase thus tells us that knowing who God is and what God is like, listen to me, knowing who God is and what God is like, don't miss this, knowing who God is and what God is like is far more important for us than seeing God physically. Far more important for us than seeing God physically. See, today, right here, in the midst of all that's going on around us, how do we find out what God is like? How do we find out? We study the Bible, where God has revealed himself to man. In fact, right now, what are we doing? We are studying this revelation to Moses, which comes to us in writing in the Old Testament, translated in our language. This is how we learn about the character of Almighty God. God's revelation to Moses vividly shows that studying the Bible, those of you that like to study it, is far more important than to have visions. Visions. Moses thought that he wanted a vision. I've got to have a vision. He wanted to see God face to face. God said, can't have that. Can't have that face-to-face experience now, Moses. One day you will. But he let Moses, you know what he let Moses hear? He let Moses hear his voice. He let Moses hear him speaking. He let Moses hear his word. Amen? That's what he let him hear. See, we must study the Bible to hear God speak in our inner man by the Holy Spirit. We got to study the Bible and thus to find out what God is like. Now, Moses had already had a similar revelation. This had already happened to him once before. When God appeared to him the first time in that burning bush we referred to earlier, he revealed his name. I am who I am. Who do I say sent me? You tell him I am who I am, per Exodus 3:14. Now, you may remember that we saw that the burning bush revelation revealed something of what theologians call, get the name right here, what theologians call God's incommunicable attributes. What do you mean by incommunicable? Well, his self-existence. How do you communicate God's self-existence? We can say he's self-existence, but how do you communicate that? We really have no concept of that except God, right? How do you communicate self-sufficiency, right? I mean, you can talk about it, you can define it, but how do you really get that across, self-sufficient? We may think we're self-sufficient. Friend, we're not self-sufficient. Remember a couple weeks ago when the power went off? Not self-sufficient, are we? No, we're not self-sufficient. Remember when there was no water? Not self-sufficient. Remember when you were without power for a day plus? Not self-sufficient. What about eternity, right? We talk about eternity. We're looking forward to eternity. But here in this finite mind of ours, in this finite world of ours, in this thing called time that's coming to an end, we're trapped in time, and time's coming to an end for us. Time's coming to an end, period, right? How do you really get a hold of that? There are so much, these things, self-existence, self-sufficiency, God's eternal nature. These are so much a part of God being uniquely God that he cannot communicate. That is, he cannot share these attributes with us. None of us has those characteristics, nor can we. Now, God has given us eternal life. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? But we are not eternal beings. I mean, I'm an eternal being from the time I got saved going forward. And I guess I'm an eternal being from the time I was conceived, or the time God thought me in his mind before my parents conceived me, right? But I'm not an eternal being in the sense that God is eternal, right? My existence has a beginning. His existence does not. He is who he is. He's always been. Do you see the difficulty of trying to wrap your head around this, right? None of us have these characteristics. God gives us eternal life, but we are not eternal beings because there was a time before we existed. Now, we certainly are not able to sustain ourselves. We're not self-existent, nor are we self-sufficient. Now, there are some people that think they are, but they're not. Trust me on this. They're just not. And nobody is. We need God and his provision. His provision every single moment. This universe has got to have his provision every single moment. This earth is revolving around this sun, and this sun is in a galaxy going around, and the galaxy is going around, and it's all in movement. And who keeps it from flying apart this very second? It's the hand of Almighty God. It's by his word we're still living today, right? We need God and his provision at every single moment. We talk about every single day, every single moment. If God ceased to provide for us, then we would all be gone in an instant. In an instant. But in this revelation to Moses, God explained the meaning of his name more fully. He communicates what we call his communicable attributes. There are some incommunicable attributes that we can talk about and define and put names to, but we really can't grasp this side of eternity. But there are some communicable attributes that can be communicated. These are attributes or characteristics that God can communicate or share with us because he has made us in his image. Made us in his image. attributes like compassion, attributes like grace, attributes like slowness to anger. Man, don't you love that attribute? Slowness to anger. The older I get, I guess the tireder I get or the more worn out I get, the less angry I find myself getting. I know I'm not as old as a lot of you out there, but that's something I enjoy. Slowness to anger. I can remember back in my 20s and teens and even in my early 30s, there was easy to anger, quickly to anger. Oh, but man, I guess it's raising four kids. I don't know, something. you just kind of the brakes come on, slowness to anger. I was getting up this morning to take the Volkswagen and get a flat fixed. The new tires, I think they've been on the car for, I don't know, 6 weeks, a month. I've already had one flat fixed, and I don't know, I for whatever reason, I happen to be the nail magnet guy. There's a nail on the road, it's mine, I'm going to run over that dude. So I'd run over another nail, didn't know it was a nail, but anyway, the other rear tire that hadn't been patched, it started losing air. Tire light came on, I thought, oh, well, you know, we've had this cold weather, it just needs to be aired up. Well, I go to pick up the Lillian at school, like I pick her up every day. And I thought, well, I better just check right quick. So I get out and I'm looking at the tires. I go, that one looks really low. I put the old air gauge on it, 12 pounds of pressure. I go, ooh, we got to get home. So Lillian gets in the car and she goes, Daddy, we get anything to eat today? I go, oh, Lillian, we gotta get home. I'm about to lose this tire. So and then she goes, well, Olivia just texted. She's really hungry, and she's got band rehearsal. I go, oh, Lily, we got to get home. So we got home and got in the other car and went and got her some food and took her some food. Long story short, come back home, that tire's about flat. I go, well, we'll put some air. I got a compressor. I aired that sucker up, got it aired up. We even drove that car a little bit, I want to say on Tuesday. Well, I parked it and everything, and I was planning on getting the tire fixed today. Well, I go out last night, and that tire is completely, completely flat. Well, that's okay. I've got the air compressor. So I get it back out, and I pump it back up full of air, and I'm good to go. And I get in the car, and Ronnie, I kid you not, I get in the car, and I hit the start button, and the battery's dead. But I didn't get mad. I got glad, amen? I thought, you know, I've got some jumper cables, and this old Suburban, I'll just pull this old 20-something-year-old car up in here and jump this old newer car off, and that's what I did. I drove it and got the tire patch, and then I came back by AutoZone, and I go, can you test my battery? And he said, sure. He came out, and he put the test on, and he said, nope, your battery's still good. I did not get mad. I did not get angry. I just said, well, hey, you know, it's a diesel, and when you hit the start button, it's cool in the morning, it's got to light these glow plugs up, it doesn't have spark plugs, and that takes a lot of juice. And he said, well, sir, your battery is at 60%. I said, well, yeah, probably. He said, it just needs to be charged. I said, well, I've driven it 35, 40 minutes. He goes, well, we can put a battery in it, and I go, well, I tell you what, I'll drive it a couple more days, and when I have to jump it again, I'll just bring it up here, and we can change the battery again. Did not get angry. Praise God. Slow to anger. Aren't those beautiful attributes? We can learn those. How do we learn them? Spending time with the Lord, getting in the Word of God. Man, I want to tell you, you live long enough and you stay in the Word long enough, you're going to look more. You just can't help it. The Holy Spirit in you. You're going to look more like Jesus, man. You get that compassion. You get that grace going. You get that slowness to anger. That love starts to flow in there. That faithfulness, goodness, and that thing we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, mercy. That starts to well up inside of us. Exodus 33:19, what I'm talking about. These are attributes that God not only can communicate to us, but does communicate to us if we are Christians, and it's a beautiful thing when we see them in ourselves and when we see them in other Christian people. It's not a prideful thing. We don't want to be prideful about it. We don't want to be competitive about it. But it's just a beautiful thing when we can recognize that in ourselves and recognize that in other Christians. The Holy Spirit has made Christians spiritually alive. We are new creatures in Christ with the life of God within us by His Holy Spirit. Therefore, if we are Christians, then we should show His goodness in our lives, and we should be merciful, we should be compassionate, we should be gracious, we should be slow to anger, and on, faithful, all of those things. We do not receive all these qualities immediately. I know I didn't. I know I didn't receive them all immediately. I know some of these were a challenge early on in the Christian walk. Some of them still are a challenge, right? I ain't through growing yet. About the time you get through growing is when God's, come on home. That's when you're through growing, not through growing yet. And we certainly don't receive these in the fullness that God has them. But we get snippets of them, and we get tastes of them, and we get to experience them a little bit, right? The Christian life is a life of growth. And Moses is a wonderful picture of how a Christian can grow, right? And Moses certainly wasn't perfect. But the essence of these qualities has to be there in us if we're to call ourselves Christians. The essence, right? Not the full-blown thing, but the essence of it, right? And if we'll just stick with it and stay at it, that essence of these different qualities, these communicable attributes, they will begin to grow. They will begin to blossom as the Holy Spirit works inside the believer. So let the Holy Spirit work. Amen. Stay in your word. Love the revelation of Almighty God. You'll be blessed for it, blessed by it, and you'll be a blessing to other people. Amen? That's our time, folks. We're out. So I'm going to have a closing word of prayer with you and hope to see you back in person. Hopefully the water situation, we won't have any more hiccups, and we'll be good to go this coming Sunday. And Bible study is starting, but it's going to be a mask thing, so just like the church thing. So mask up and be prepared to social distance in Bible study. At 9:45, new literature is out, and you guys will have a good time over there studying the Word of God together. I believe Brother John's bringing the first Bible study lesson. So come be a support. Come support Brother John, and you guys get in there and love that Word together, and learn from one another, and ask those questions, and pray it out, and all those different things. And then come over, and we'll have worship service, live worship service, as we have been doing. We'll be doing that again this Sunday. So have a blessed rest of the week. God bless you. Love you. One person I forgot to pray for is Fred Redmond. So as we close, we're going to lift up Brother Fred. Fred had some injections in his back. So we're going to lift up Brother Fred tonight and pray for that situation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you and close tonight, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your revelation. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, we thank you for Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for Brother Fred and Ann. And Lord, we just pray you continue to put your healing hand on Ann. And Lord, with Fred, we pray for his pain and discomfort he's been experiencing in his back and these injections. We pray that they give relief, Lord, and give some lasting relief and some lasting pain management for him. And Lord, we just pray that he's better for undergoing this procedure and having these injections. And Lord, we just pray you see him through in that part of his body, in that area. Just touch him and bring help and healing to him. We are thankful, Lord, as we continue to think of things we need to praise you for. We're thankful that we've got Miss Marjorie Breyer back at school, and she is COVID over for her, and her family is COVID over. We do pray for her dad, Harold, in the hospital. We pray that you just give him strength and help him get over the COVID-19. I do pray for my dad, Lord, as he gets ready to come home from the hospital in a few days. Lord, help him continue to get his strength back and appetite and all those things. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for these doctors and nurses. We give you another praise for Terry Kimball tonight, Lord, and the fact that her pathology on her cancer came back just super-duper clean and clear. and doctors are calling her cancer prognosis. She's already in remission. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for Miss Terry. And this blessing that we heard about today with her cancer and her treatment, Lord. Thank you that that was a successful surgery that she had and that she's considered in remission, Lord. We just pray the few little radiation treatments she has would just be minimal and she'll be back at it full strength and just going great, Lord. Thank you for her. Thank you for Brother Vince. Lord, we do pray for the worship service this come Sunday. Lord, we pray for a spirit of worship in this place. People just wanting to be with you and sing to you and hear from you, Lord. And just they want to bring their worship to you, Lord. May that be the thing going on here this coming Sunday. No agenda, no big complicated matter or mess. Just a group of people coming together to praise Almighty God, to worship Jesus, and Lord, just to rest in the power of the Holy Spirit. We look forward to it this Sunday, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for those that keep the thing going. Thank you for all these volunteers. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, you folks dismissed. It's 8 up. Y'all be good. Good night.